أما بعد، from the very beginning of times, the human being is being victimized, or you may say they are suffering themselves mainly, from mostly the same kind of illnesses and reasons spiritually. So Shaitan do not have to come up with very new innovative ideas, but he is using the same old tricks and the old traps and weapons which he has been using from the very beginning. Some of them he became himself a victim of, so he knows very well that what these weapons, what these illnesses, what these spiritual ailments do to a person. Some of them he has used on some people and became, he saw that he became effective, so he's using up to now. That is why if you go all around the world, people will speak different language, they will have different religions and different cultures, but the problems and the spiritual and moral failures they are experiencing, they're almost the same. Even across the different divinely revealed religions and also others, because the religion of Shaitan is one, so he is using the same techniques, same methods with everyone, with all humanity rather. Even people who do not believe in God, the atheist, that is one trap, but morally they also are suffering from the same kind of. And then there is a religious person, a Muslim who calls himself a Muslim, who calls himself a Christian, who calls himself Hindu or Jewish person, but the problems which he is suffering in his community and family are almost similar. Be it white, be it black, wherever they are. Some of the tactics are tried and tested one, and they are very, very lengthy other matters as well, but I'll just indicate toward very few. Few of them Shaitan used on himself, and he became victim, so he knew that they are very effective. And one of it is that which he used, or which he became himself a victim of. He did not use rather, but he himself didn't know that he has been affected. Because many of the disease, when they you don't know sometime that you are affected. Many people, they develop a pain in their body and only to know they have a serious case of AIDS, a serious case of cancer or hepatitis, whatever. And before that they didn't know anything. So it doesn't mean that they don't know and nothing is happening, but it is more subtle and dangerous that if it happens and you do not know. Why they don't know? because they have not tested, they have not been tested, they have not been scanned, they have not been to a doctor. So to some extent, similarly, spiritually as well, many people are already suffering the spiritual cancer, it's already in them. But because they have not presented themselves to a doctor or someone who knows these things, for example, they don't know. So sometimes they just become apparent when they are lethal, when it's just deadly, the matter ends. That's what happened with Shaitan as well. If he knew that what's going to happen, he would have not do it. But because some disease, as they say, when the cancer is in last stages, when the heart has failed, it's too late then sometime to take a cure or medicine or anything would help a person. So the first thing which affected him, which even he didn't know, and then he is using, to this day he is using upon people, old people almost, is that he began to like himself, that I am some kind of, I am something, something special, me and I and myself. You see, these things, these pronouns are used quite often. So he, firstly, obviously a person thinks that he has something special. And when he is, has something special, then the next thing is the others are not special. Then the next thing is that I should be treated specially. I should be given special treatment, special protocol, special welcoming and special status. But where does it start from? It's just that considering some of the things which Allah has given myself, it is the blessing of Allah which I have, and then I unknowingly take it for granted and consider it is my own things. It is me. It is mine. It is me who have this. It is I who have attained this. So the person then begins to like himself, which is called like being egocentric or self-likeness. Likeness, self, a person like, wonderful, how wonderful voice I have, how wonderful face I have, how wonderful knowledge I have, how wonderful habits I have, how wonderful wealth I have, how wonderful car I have, how wonderful body I have, how wonderful business I have, how wonderful worship I do, how wonderful prayers I have, how wonderful Hajj is mine, how wonderful recitation is mine. Anything about which you tend to think not as a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yes, blessing of Allah, but you own it, meaning that I have this. Then the next stage is natural sequence, that when you think you are special, then obviously others are not special. And when others are not special, then you should be given special treatment. You should be given special status. And that, as we say, then becomes the self-likeness, then changes into arrogance, kibr, takabbur, arrogance. That's how it changes. So firstly, it's self-likeness. Then it is pride. I am proud of being this. I am proud of being that. I am proud of being this. You should be humble, not proud. Proud, if you want to celebrate a blessing, you think you have something good. To celebrate a blessing, the name is shukr, to be thankful, not to be proud, to be thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said in the Quran that actually you even become proud to be a Muslim. No, you should be thankful to be a Muslim. If you are proud to be a Muslim, then you will develop arrogance. It is the next stage. You are going to look down upon others. And we are commanded or instructed by the wise people and mashayikh, meaning the awliya, sulaha, that not to look down upon even kuffar from the point of view of the end, because their end might be a good end. They might actually accept Islam. A sinner might actually go, a virtuous person, righteous person, your end might actually go on the other side. So how does these things come when you are doing good works? Then you feel good. You don't feel good when you are doing bad. Even bad people, sinners, although they are suppressing their voice of their conscience, but still it is saying to them, you are not doing good. You are not doing good. You are not doing good. Even all these evil doers who are causing chaos in family, in the humanity, killing people or drug dealers or some so-called celebrities and others. And most of them, if you even check yourself on the in their books or on the internet, the lives of many of these people, or even celebrities, they are mostly, you will see, they have committed suicide or they have been murdered for some one or the other reason. You can include those people who are actors and musicians and models and beauties and all these people, that someone has done a study on them, that more than half of them are in this category. That if you, for example, say in 2012, the celebrities who died, or which were they, 2013, for example, they were rich people, but you will find that mostly it is suicide, committing, or being killed, or being involved, and all these drug cartels, they actually also in the same position. The most of them either have been killed, but how they were misled that we are going to have good life, that we will have millions or billions or whatever. But many of them not only made a mess out of their life, they have harmed their own families, either in the way of that they are suffering now, or other groups, other gangs, they have killed whole of their families in front of them to take revenge or to do something. And this happens now often, very now in international these things and national gangs. You know better than me what happens. But I'm just trying to indicate that these people were to give themselves little bit of better life, that we will have more money, we'll have house, we'll give good life to the family, and then we'll become better person. We'll change their money into business or something or whatever. But many of them have been involved in such a, you may say, trap, that they've never been able to come out, and rather giving any good life to themselves and family, life in hiding, life in fear. And as I said, that many of them seek that their families have been killed because of their animosity and their, revenge, because other gangs, they've taken it on their families. And many of them, they have been forced to look their families shot in front of them. And after that, actually, they've been killed. They have wife, they have 5 children or 6 children, and that. They never expected that. And first day, it was never in their mind. They thought maybe they'll do this for 1 month or 2 months or for some other reason they came in the beginning. So you can see and take lessons from that the life have not become better. The end of others also is going to be similar. And those who are yet to actually start, they should take lesson. And especially, I was saying about, so these are the, like the gang people. The others are like the celebrities, and you see that there is no peace mostly, who have just actually made this their purpose of life in their own fields. Many of them who it didn't materialize, who made money and all these other things. Anyway, Shaitan actually was not doing anything bad. He was doing something good called worship, ibadah, zikr, doing good things. But when he was doing good things, he began to fall into love with his own worship. He used to look at his ibadah, his zikr, his status, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised in the Jannah. So he thought he was special, he was getting special treatment, angels were kissing his hands, angels were sitting down with him and learning many things from him. So because this thing developed in him, self-likeness, now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to cure him of this illness, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to cure him so that this illness goes, that he is a pious man or a pious jinn and have attained some status, now he has developed a disease and he should be cured. He should be given opportunity to cure this inner disease of self-likeness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created another creation. His name was Adam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. That was the cure for him. That was the doctor for him. That was the spiritual, like, murshid, a spiritual sheikh for him. But when that was created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said that I have honored him more, if angels are honoring him, you honor him. It was as though too late, that he's that inner cancer of self-likeness. Now actually, like this is a cancer, a boil, when erupts like a volcano, then it's too late sometimes. So the volcano of self-likeness exploded and became arrogance, became takabbar, it changed. So now he was in direct conflict, collision course with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. He said that I am special, I've done so much, now why should I bow down or actually? But if he had bowed down, then his arrogance would have been broken. His arrogance and self-likeness and that pride would have broken, because when you bow down, when you become humble, then obviously these things happen. So now what happened after was, now up to now it's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse came on him because of the kabbar, because he became angry. So two things were in the very beginning. One is that the kabbar, the kibr, the arrogance, and the second is the anger he had. The anger he took out on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. He said to Allah, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Because, oh Allah, you misled me. Although Allah was guiding him, he was the one who was not taking guidance. But because he became angry, because of pride and because of arrogance, because of takabbur, because he became angry, so he was now saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because you misled me, you sidetracked me, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I am going to mislead all of the children of Adam and jinn, everyone. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Not only human beings he's misleading, that he's enemy, okay, of human beings, but at the same time he is using his own kind. He's not merciful to his own kind. The army he has is all from jinns, and they also are responsible to act upon Islam and commands of Allah. So he said, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. So you see, firstly self-likeness, that when you, I am good, I am fine, I look nice, I do this, etc., etc. I have. And so what to say when those people who are trying to attain these things, to attain those clothes, to actually look, or you may say show off on others. So they are as though they are inviting arrogance to themselves. They are rebuilding arrogance in them. They are calling out. Even if it's not there, they are now actually accumulating it. And as soon as they have, most of the conflict between friends, between family members, between relatives, is because of arrogance. तो बहुत सारी जो बुराई जिस तरह मैं अर्ज कर रहा हूं आपको कि सबसे पहले शैतान में अच्छाई का ख्याल पैदा हुआ कि मैं बहुत अच्छा हूं. बुरा ख्याल नहीं, अच्छाई का ख्याल. मैं बहुत अच्छा हूं, मैंने इबादत काफी की है, बहुत अच्छा महसूस कर रहा हूं. तो जब मैं अच्छा हूं, मैं स्पेशल हूं, तो फिर दूसरे, जाहिर है दूसरों से मैं अच्छा हूं, फिर मुझे ट्रीटमेंट, मुझे जो है वो जो आओ भगत और प्रोटोकॉल मिलना चाहिए और दर्जा मिलना चाहिए. तो जब नहीं मिला वो, अल्लाह पाक ने उसका इलाज, उसको फजल के तौर पर हजरत आदम अलैहिस्सलाम पैदा फरमाए उसका इलाज करने के लिए गया. लेकिन वो अब वो बहुत देर हो चुकी है, उनके सामने भी वो तकब्बर बन गया. यानी पहले वो उजब खुद पसंदी थी, अब खुद पसंदी फिर वो तकब्बर बन जाती है. बाद में जाके वो फख्र, खुद पसंदी, फिर फख्र, फिर बोला मुझे फख्र है, फिर फख्र के बाद जो है वो तकब्बर बन जाता है. तो अब जो है वो अपना देर हो गई, अब उसको गुस्सा आ गया. तो गुस्सा जो है, अगर वो गलत तौर पर इस्तेमाल हो रहा है, तो वो तकब्बर की इलामत है कि उस बंदे में तकब्बर है. तब वो जिन्हें गुस्सा होता है, इसमें तकब्बर नहीं तो उसको गुस्सा तो जरूर आता है, लेकिन शैतान पर, अपने आप पर, नफ्स पर, दूसरों पर नहीं. अब दूसरों पर उसको नहीं आता, वो अल्लाह के लिए गुस्सा आता है उसको. उसका गुस्सा अब अल्लाह के लिए हो जाता है, अपने लिए नहीं बनता. अपने लिए वो बर्दाश्त करता रहता है, और अल्लाह के लिए सिर्फ गुस्सा होता है. ये होता है, हुजूर अलैहिस्सलाम को भी बहुत गुस्सा आता है, लेकिन सिर्फ अल्लाह के लिए, अपने जात के लिए नहीं, अपने नफ्स के लिए नहीं, अपनी किसी चीज के लिए नहीं. तो ये जो है, अल्लाह जल्ल मजदहु मेंशन इन द कुरान, इबादुर रहमान अल्लज़ीन यमशून अलल अर्द हौना, दैट इफ एनीवन इज माय सर्वेंट, इबादुर रहमान द सर्वेंट ऑफ द मर्सीफुल, जो रहमान के बंदे हैं, यानी अल्लाह के बंदे. अल्लाह फरमाए अगर वो मेरे नहीं है तो ठीक है, जो मर्जी, वो शैतान के बंदे हैं, वो जो मर्जी कर रहे हैं, दे विल डू शैतानी एक्ट्स. पर इफ दे क्लेम टू बी मुस्लिम एंड दे से व इबादुर रहमान, अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला, लेकिन अल्लाह अज़्ज़ व जल्ल डिडंट से इबादुल्लाह, अल्लाह के बंदे, बल्कि फरमाया रहमान के बंदे, मेरे औलिया. अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला यूज द हिज नेम रहमान. Rahman means, as you translate sometimes, we merciful. But really we can't understand what is mercy. How can you understand mercy? M-E-R-C-Y. What is mercy? But the Arabic Rahman word, Raham, that can give you the meaning of mercy. Even can explain to you what mercy should mean in English even. Because Arabic language have this beauty that it, the meaning of the word is in the word, in the root of the word. So let me explain to you, for example, the scholars say that Rahman is from Rahm. Rahman, from where the word comes from, Rahman, Rahm. And what is Rahm? Rahm means womb of the mother.
where you have stayed in the womb of the mother.
Womb of the mother. That is Rahman.
Again, the root word of Rahman is Raham, and Raham means, you don't understand what Raham means, it is mercy. It is, now the Arabic word for Arham or Raham, for the womb of the mother, where you and me have stayed for many, many months, is called Raham. So like the Raham envelopes the baby, the fetus. You see how it looks after, for all the needs of the baby, the temperature, the food, the vitamin, the protection from cold, from other dangers, from animals, from disease, from food, from nutrition. What is protecting? That is the womb of the mother. That is the womb, Raham, that from all sides it's enveloping the baby, from all sides actually, and so that it doesn't need anything now. Even the mother doesn't need to feed the baby. Now mother doesn't need feed, because the Raham is such system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Mother doesn't know. Mother is eating her own food. She's not feeding the baby. It is the Raham, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and it is merciful, it is soft. The baby is moving in the Raham. The baby is making movements. Their eyes are developed. There is development going on. But it is soft. It is gentle. It's not harsh. It is giving safety. It is giving safety from physical dangers from outside. It is giving safety from other internal dangers, from many, many diseases. And it's filled with water, and the water is like life for that baby, where they get. But it's enveloped that no one have access to the baby. So the Raham, once you understood, we can't really give an example, but that's what I am trying to make you understand, that the Raham, and now the word Rahman comes from that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you, providing you from all dimensions. Physically, spiritually, He has created this world, this earth, even like a big womb. You see, it is there are so many barriers which are even filtering the harmful rays of the sun so that they don't come and harm you. There are stars and planets which actually explode, or you may say break off, and they can fall on the face of the earth, but there is such atmosphere. It is very cold in the atmosphere outside the cloud system. So you can see the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy, that actually it is how it is actually providing. Firstly, you were in the womb of the mother, now you are in a womb as well. All this atmosphere is protecting you. The gravity, it's the right power, the right kind of power in there, the right kind of heat, the right level of temperature, not too cold, not too... And in other planets, this does not exist. Either they are too cold, they are more dangerous, or they are like fire or anything. So the right balance. So from there, from we use the word Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am Rahman. That actually, that's why it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servant 70 times or more even than actually the mother. Because the womb of the mother also is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy in the mother also have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot imagine how recently we can't even imagine the pain the mother goes through to bear. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts greatest right on the children or people
of parents, especially mother. Khidma, someone asked that, who is more honorable? Who shall I more honor? The mashayikh have said that khidma and service you should offer the mother first, but the command of the father should be followed. So khidma is like serving, looking after needs and things. Mother have preference in that. She has higher status. She has higher status. That she should be looked after, khidma, she needs help, she needs, in any way, you should attend the mother first. But as discipline or command or hukam or anything to do, administrative matter, any matter of tarbiyah, there the father is given preference. He should be followed. My meaning, if the father says the child shouldn't go out, then if the mother says he can go out, then the son, daughter should follow the father, not the mother. But if it is the service matter, for example, she needs khidma, she needs massage, she needs food, all these things, and father says, no, massage my feet, now the mother gets preference, because she has done greater service. So from the khidma, from the service, from the loyalty point of view, it is the mother's status. From the command, discipline, and all these matters, the father gets the preference. His command is higher, even upon the mother. It is, that's why, even upon his mother, your child's mother, it is necessary for the women to follow the command of husband, if you say. So you should understand the azma, the greatness, is for the father, and the other khidma and the status is for the mother. Because of this reason, because we can never know. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that if someone in his lifetime, he was saying, if someone displeases me, meaning he's not, for example, giving me something to eat or anything, or if he displeases me in any way, and he pleases his parents, his parents are pleased with him or her, his parents are pleased with her or him, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am pleased with that person, I am happy, that person is going to go in Jannah, and I am happy with that person. But someone who is voluntarily serving me, he is serving the deen, he is serving the etc. etc. He is pleasing me, I am pleased with the person, I am happy. But his parents are not happy because he is not fulfilling their rights. He is violating the rights of parents. He said, if he has pleased me, me as a prophet of Allah, the messenger of Allah, I am pleased with him. I say, I am happy with you, my ummati, as far as I am concerned. But he is not fulfilling the rights of the parents. His parents are not pleased, although they might be disbelievers. He said, I am also displeased with that person. He said, I am not happy with that person. I am also displeased with that person. So that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in different ways these status. But obviously one should be sure that this is in lawful matters, that fulfilling their rights which are due to them. Not it doesn't mean that if the parents say to do commit shirk or kufr or fisk or anything, that you follow them. No, that time you shouldn't follow anyone. This is only in relation to their rights, that their rights are important. That if you are fulfilling the rights of Allah and His Messenger, but not the rights of parents, then Allah, His Messenger, will not be pleased with you as well. But if you are fulfilling the parents' rights and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding deen, you are doing just about necessary things, he said, I am pleased with the person. So I was saying to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this word, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the servants of the merciful. Now, who are awliya, righteous people? Who are they? He said, "Alladhina yamshuna 'ala al-ardi hawna." that who the ones who walk on the earth humbly, with humbleness. Their walking also tells you that humility actually you can be seen. Humility manifests through them. Their walking, way of walking is also can be seen, it is humble. And as you know that how some people, arrogant people walk. That's why the Prophet ﷺ forbid a custom of his time when people used to walk very arrogantly with their clothes draping down on the ground and rubbing down on the ground. This was like showing their status. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned that one should not have his clothes draping below the ankles on the ground. It is sinful. Especially they were doing with arrogance at those times. But mainly it was to do with walking. Now the next verse of the Quran after that, it then gives you an indication that you might think you are humble or you are not arrogant, but how would you know? The next verse answers a given ilama indication. He says the evidence or the sign of a humble person is that if you are humble, you say, I am humble, I am not arrogant. How would you know? Everyone will say we are humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The sign, if you want to test yourself or just to look at yourself, that what you are humble or not, that aside what others say, what you say, okay, you just test yourself. Are you humble or are you arrogant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the next verse. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That the sign of a humble person, if you are a humble person, whenever any person misbehaves with you in a disrespectful way, in an ignorant way, in an illogical way, in an immodest way, sarcastic way, a jahil, a person who is ignorant, who have no manners, who is just actually a fool type person, or when he engages, he tries to engage you and try to wind you up, saying the test is qalu salama, that if you are able to leave that person and yourself and that situation peacefully, this is a sign that you are a humble person. And if you actually get wound up and you also respond in the same manner or even in the worst manner, this is a sign that you don't have humbleness. You have arrogance still. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Salama doesn't mean actually only that they say salam, but meaning that they stay peaceful. When they are made angry, when they are caused to be, or you may say they are wound up actually in a way, because of obviously, and the verse of the Quran, as I said, that when the Quran mentions wa iza means and when, and when it's mentioned when, it means it's going to happen. If the Quran mentions in, means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if this happens to them, they do like this, then it means it might happen, it might not happen to you. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ, that when the ignorant, when the fools, when the argumentative people, when these people who have no much sense, they are saying things out of order, they don't know what they're talking about, they start objecting, they start swearing, they start actually become angry and small things. He says, when this happens, this means it's going to happen definitely to you. You will face this now and then, every day or now and then you will face. It's not a question, it won't happen. Your colleague, your friend sometime might act like that. Your wife
husband, brother, sister, relative, they might start acting like that. So what is wisdom? That you leave yourself and them in peace and get out of situation. Otherwise you also become a victim of shaitan, a party as well. So there are signs. Everyone can claim anything, and you know, everyone, person or people can say whatever they want. But there are tests. That's why people are examined. People are put to test in universities, in colleges, wherever. Driving tests. There is all kinds of tests, because to know really what they claim, that I am a good driver, I am a good engineer, I am a good doctor, I am this, I am that, I am a pilot. Are they or not? Tests are put. Otherwise, all people can, anyone can claim anything. So here there is one sign of that. And then there are others as well. That a person, people who are humble, that what it is. And as I said, that after takabbur, when a person arrogance come, after proudness and self-likeness, the thing which flares up the situation is the anger part of it. And the anger for the sake of nafs. So never be convinced. Anger is not bad. Anger for the sake of nafs and sake of shaitan is bad. Anger for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen is good. Like spending in the way of Allah is good, spending in the way of shaitan in the bad thing, it is bad. Standing up for shaitan and nafs, for evil people, to protect the evil is bad. Standing up to protect goodness, to protect humanity, protect other people is good. So I was giving you the example of shaitan in the beginning, that this was tried and self-tested. He has experienced this, that when takabbur, arrogance come, this person is going to fight with everyone, almost likely. He will have sulh, reconciliation with himself. He's reconciled, happy with himself, and angry and war with everyone. Apne aap se sulah, nafs se, aur baki sab se jang. This is the manifestation. So you will see the person wherever they are, and slowly that anger, if he does not stop, for example, he is with his friends, he does not stop, then it will spread in his home. If he doesn't stop there, then one day will come, he will become angry with his uncles, other elderly people outside. And if he does not stop there, then one day with his parents. His parents is going to happen. He is going to use the same. And if he does not stop even there, get cured, then with pious, righteous people also, he will also. And if he does not stop there, then with Allah and his messenger, he is going to go become like that. And then, that's when the destruction actually come really. It's end of the matter. So that's happened with shaitan firstly. So firstly he had something to do with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam when he was created. But that ended up being in confrontation, direct confrontation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. So this is what he knew, that is very, very effective tool. So you will see now here, no matter person is Buddhist or Christian or Jew or atheist, this arrogance and takabbur, which I am saying self-likeness and anger thing, is being used everywhere, and people are suffering the same kinds of consequences. And the second thing which he himself was also experiencing and was that jealousy part of it. The jealousy. Jealousy, why that person have this, I should have, he shouldn't have, he should not have. Just to want something good is not jealousy. But at the same time wanting the others not to have, destroying others' blessings that he should not have, only I should have, this is jealousy. And if you wish well for others that they should have and I should have, this is good thing. Anything bad. Someone has a good car, you also want a good car. You also pray for yourself, work for it. and inshallah that is fine. But if you want others not to have it, you don't like others to have it, only you should have it, that's when it's called hasad. So, second thing which happened with that, he said, he had a high status already, but Adam alayhi salam had high status. Now, what he wanted was that Adam alayhi salam to stripped off that status and he to have that. That's called hasad, that's like a fire burning in the heart. So, second thing was this. So, these are the first few sins which happened in the presence of Allah in heavens. All other sins happen, zina, alcohol, all these other matters, they happen on the face of the earth. But these are the few sins, they are so deadly, so lethal, that actually they happen even in the presence of Allah in the heavens, in the Jannah, in the Asma, in the Sama. So they deprive you of the heaven. They were in the heaven, he was in the heaven, it then deprived him, brought him down. And now he is using same things on me and you today. Since Adam alayhi salam came, he used the same thing on his son, Qabil and Habil. He thought Qabil, so I am better. I'm better than Habil. Why Habil has this, the wife of Habil is more beautiful and I deserve better. So this is also same thing Shaitan using, that you are better, and then jealousy. So that he ended up killing him. He ended up killing him and running away with his wife. Kidnapping and running away with the wife of Habil. So he ran away and he kidnapped. And also killed and arrogant. So arrogance, takabbur, hasad, the jealousy, love of women, unlawful love of women, meaning wanting, for example, if it's lawful love, you can actually have lawful relation, but unlawful relationship of women, and then actually having extramarital relations with them. So these are, you see, the very first thing, very first people of the sons of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, his daughters, he used same technique and same method. After thousands of years today, you will see almost similar things are happening. People are, we are becoming arrogant, and when you are arrogant, you are angry with anyone, no matter you are in the mosque, no matter you are there, no matter in the Kaaba, no matter you are in Madinatul Manawwara, doesn't matter. And then jealousy, then these extramarital relation, the fitna of women, people and causing themselves, actually, so this girlfriend, boyfriend, this is etc. All these things, same old, thousands year old, these prescriptions, shaitanic prescription. Today we have become victim. So nowadays, when you hear that I have listened to hundreds of talks, hundreds of talks, but what's the, you say, I know already. What do you know when you are victim of the same arrogance is still in you, the same pornography and same extramarital relations is still in you. You listen to millions, if it's not changing you, if it's not having effect, you need to listen to more. Because actually you are listening to directions, that turn right, and you're turning left. And you're turning left, and when someone says, please turn right, oh, I know, I've heard it 100 times, turn right. But you're going left. Well, the person will say, then what is, no, then use of your thing. Then after 101 more times, the person says, turn right. Oh, no, I've heard 101 times, don't tell me something new. Right way is the one more, actually. And if you're going on the left side, then what is it you're hearing? What speech you want to hear? Do you want the person to stay now as you turn left, meaning go wrong? This is not going to happen. So this means you need to listen, you need to reflect until really you've made the right turn. You made the turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep attending, keep listening. Rather ask people to say more and more to you, so that maybe then it will make you turn right, not left.
And if it's not making you turn, then this means actually you should listen and reflect. Because otherwise the time is flying, as they say, and very, very quickly. And then when the time of death comes, then these excuses, these things are never going to help you or come to any, assistance to you or excuse for your respite. And these things, what I am saying is not for Akhirah only. People have made a mess of their own, even worldly lives out of because of these. Every matter of deen, a person doesn't act upon, he also suffers in this world. In this world, you don't suffer like always, like punishment, stones are coming on your head, falling on from the heavens, or the fire falling in the heaven. This, chaos which you have caused in your inner self, in the family, there's no peace in the family, as the children are not happy with you, you are not happy with children, husbands are throwing, things at the wife. This is like actually azab from the heaven, you may say. Or the wife is actually throwing things, or you may say, give me the mouth. This is azab as well, in a way. If it, a person understands, this is also a kind of a punishment, a chaos of actually being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the matters of deen, or the tazkiyah nafs, or the purification course which we say, I say for one time, leave akhirah on one side. This can, your life is already life of hell if you are not purified in this world even. Because ask your mother, ask your parents, ask your friends, there is, people are hiding it in them. But only when you sit with them, they will tell you, or they will open up that what chaos, what actually a disintegration in themselves, and restlessness in them, that no peace in them, and they're suffering in silence and just getting their head down, and just like they're like walking dead. They were like walking dead people, meaning there's no inner side, they're not living as though. But they just have to survive because they can't commit suicide, so they are just actually living their life as well. No, they don't need to live like that. They don't need to live. They shouldn't live like that. There is this way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of their creator who have actually created you, as I said, who looks after you more than the mother's womb look after. He's Rahman, meaning he not only in the womb, mother womb only protects you whilst you are in the womb. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman, He protects you whilst you are here on the face of the earth even, wherever you are. When you go in qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will envelope you there as well. When you are in the day of judgment, Allah's, when everyone has abandoned you, His mercy is still there enveloping you. I mentioned to you yesterday or the day before the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. In his time a sinner person died, and people threw him on a rubbish dump, that he's a sinner person, no one reading janazah. But because when he was dying, he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just before his death, he was very bad person, people thought. He repented, asked forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi on Musa al-Islam, that he is my wali. That this person, the sinner, who people have abandoned on the rubbish dump, he is my wali, because he repented in the last minutes or in the last days and hours of his death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still, his mercy still enveloped. So it's only when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, he was mentioning the, a war was happening, an expedition. One woman, lady, she lost her baby. And she had lost her baby, and she, like an insane person, was running here and there for her baby. Where is my baby? Crying. Because there's a war happening, battle. She lost somewhere in hustle and bustle and running, and the chaos of the situation. So she was even picking up the babies of others and giving them milk and putting them to her chest, actually, just to give her some comfort. She was, this baby, give me. And he was so restless and so longing. You know. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he alayhi salatu wasalam was there, and he was mentioned about that this is happening, and that's the state of the lady. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful on his servant than this lady is on his baby. How she is missing the baby and she founds the baby, Allah Azza wa Jalla becomes more pleased when a servant finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may say, lost his way, he has lost his way, he has gone into shaitanic ways, bad habits and things, and he finds his way back to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more pleased or happy than this woman if she found the baby. But actually Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned only that that Allah loves more his servant than this. And then there was an old woman, old lady there. She said that if that is the case, then why people will be thrown in hellfire? That she won't actually. Why will people be thrown in hellfire? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that it is not Allah who throws them in hellfire. They themselves throw in them. Allah saves them. Allah send Anbiya. He sent, for example, he mentioned me as a mercy for the universe to save people from the hellfire. It is people who throw themselves into the well. So there is a well which people are jumping themselves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my example is I am dragging their clothes from their, even their clothes I am holding and trying to stop them. But they are still jumping as though in the hell or going. He gave the example of a moth and a lantern or a candle. Like moths, they, insects, they jump towards the light. They see escape there, the moth, and they get killed and they get burned away. So the Prophet ﷺ said, my example is like that. That you, shaitan is showing you this light of evil. He shows you as light. Like the moth or the insects, flies, you see in darkness sometime, they see light as the escape route. To flies and moths, it seems, so light doesn't seem light to them, it seems that there's a way out. Because there's darkness, all around there's darkness, so when sometime you see an escape route, sunlight coming out, and they can escape from there. So, for example, the moths and insects, they see as escape route, the light is coming, but the light is fire, and the light burns them. They get killed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that my example is like this. The humanity, human beings, many of them, shaitan is showing them light, that is pleasure in drugs, in zina, in fisk, in not praying, you are peaceful, watching all these dirty things, listening, coil care, he's showing them light. But when they go, ask them who have gone there, I gave you the example, who have gone really inside these things, inside the very center of gangs, center of drugs, center of women, center of actually all these things, when they have been involved and engaged fully in these, then evil, then they know that they have died. It's a destruction. But then it's too late. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am dragging them with my instruction, my commands, my nasiha. It's as though I'm holding them from their clothes and dragging them away. But they are even dragging me away from me. They are releasing their clothes from me and going, no, they accept. So a businessman or you must a person might see success in interest. This is like a shaitanic light. He sees escape, he sees profit there. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying it is war. It is war with Allah. It's not war with, you may say, anything else, but it's a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I see it. But only after years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when a person is fully engaged, then he has lost his inner peace. Maybe he's lost his family because now he's in war with Allah. How can he win? He can't win. He is doing it all for peace and for his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the very things he is trying to save. And he himself will go towards destruction. So these are examples that I said. Otherwise, no one is going to go towards any sin if there is no light, no attraction in there. They go because they see glittering and they see escape route or immediate relief from there. But after that, then actually it is the different case. So one should consider deeply. So the point I am trying to make, normally I say, and that is right, that you should come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah. You should come towards Allah Azza wa Jal, Deen, do the tazkiyah, a purification course, to save yourself from the punishments of the grave, punishments of the hellfire. That is true, that should be the objective. But today I am saying to you that otherwise your this life will be hell as well, if you don't purify. It is for your benefit of this life. Because I have experience with people day and night, people meaning mentioned, seeing different countries, how they are. People who are not purified, they are causing chaos, you may say, and making life hell for themselves, their children, their wife, their parents, their neighbors, their relatives, community, even friends after some now and then actually. So I am saying that even have mercy on you. Okay, for akhirah do as well. No, that's what should be the true objective, where you're going to live forever. But if you're not too much worried about that, then if you're worried about dunya, even your dunya will be destroyed if you are not purified. Even your dunya is going to actually be a life of chaos and restlessness. If you want even peaceful life in the dunya, in the world, with your family and friends and future, still the solution is purification. And as I am saying, that this is not only relevant to that one religion. Shaitan is using with every person. He is not interested in your Hindu, your Jew or anything. He wants to destroy more and more people, more and more chaos. For akhirah, if he has destroyed a person, iman, he is not a Muslim, now he will try to destroy your dunya through these evil things, as I say, jealousy, hatred, the love of dunya, wanting more and more and more and more and more and more, and it never ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this quality of Jahannam. It's the hell quality that it will be set to it on the day of judgment, or when the people, all people are, who are going to hell, they will turn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, يَوْمَ تَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ حَلِمْ تَلَاتْ. The day when it will be set to hell, are you filled up now? Are you filled up? You are happy now, actually, that you filled up your place? And the hell will say, تَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَسِيرِ. It will say, are there some more? Are there some more? Not satisfied. So, those people, this love of dunya, it will never satisfy. People have been earning, people have been, the peace in this dunya also is in the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the peace in akhirah also is in friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other people are tools and tests. So this is also month of safar, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departure, preparations. And as I mentioned before as well, that one of the things which Rasulullah did before departing or beginning the journey of Akhirah, you see, when you want to begin the journey, he was going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going towards Allah azza wa jalla, leaving this world forever, physically, that. Spiritually, he is there. Their bodies, Anbiya's bodies are alive. They have a higher life even than before. That's a different matter. But the thing which we call death, that comes on everyone. Even angels are going to die. Even so, starting his preparation journey to Allah, when he knew he had chosen to go to Allah, he was given choice over it. What he did, I am saying you should do as well. If you want to get close to Allah, you don't want to die, and I'm not saying you should, but it is really a wish of a believer. Believer, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was given choice, he said to the Sahaba, I have been given choice to what? To live in this life forever and then go in Jannah when the day of judgment comes. Or I can actually leave now and be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he said, I have the other companion, he's one of his servants, his slaves, he said, Ya Rasulullah, choose the first one, live with us. We will look after you, we will sacrifice, people will benefit from you. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, I have already chosen, I made a decision, I'm going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll be with Allah azza wa jal, because His love overwhelms me. I would have never come here if He wouldn't have sent me, and I don't like to live here more than it is necessary. But He gave me a message to deliver. As I've delivered, I am not of the world. Although I love people and I have given them whatever is useful for them, whatever is harmful for them, I mention. Whatever is beneficial for them, I've mentioned. I've laid down my life for them. I've laid down my example for them. I have prepared such companions for them. So the message was there. As soon as the wahi, the revelation ended, Rasulullah didn't want to stay one day more. Or for example, he would say, I would stay with my children, my grandchildren. How much he loved Sayyidina Hussein, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali. How much he loved them, these people, his own children, his ummah. But he didn't. He said that he had in his heart the love of Allah Azza wa Jal more than anyone else. So he didn't want. That's why it is said that in the last day, in his entire life, the most wahi came on his last day. No more, for example, the wahi revealed, the Quranic verses, other wahi which used to come now and then upon the Prophet ﷺ, all through his 23 years, but the most wahi revelation happened in his last days, in the last day. Because when the last message he delivered, he didn't want to stay even seconds. That's how much detachment. It's as though he was living, although doesn't want to live here, but just for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was living. So there's an example. If we love Him, we should also love Akhirah and to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer should love death, meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mawt tuhfatul mu'min. A mawt is the gift for the believer, because it's the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Rasulullah ﷺ. Mawt is not the name of destruction. Mawt is not the name of leaving something, blessing, but maut is going to the higher blessing and the higher company and the higher level of people. That's why Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala, when his sons and his nephews and his brothers and cousins were being martyred, as soon as his son was martyred, he would say, Ilhaq ma'aba, that now and join your forefathers, O son. There was no concept of destruction in them. So his son was killed, he will say, go and join your forefather, go and join Sayyidina Ali and Rasulullah Sallam, go and join them. And then another was killed in the Karbala, he would say, go and join your forefathers. Go and join your forefathers. So that was completely different mindset how we have. Of the death. So Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person who loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah also loves to meet him. And who doesn't like to meet Allah, Allah does not like to meet him. So if a person is believer he thinks he loves Allah and His Messenger. Mauth is the bridge to meet Allah and His Messenger. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love Anbiya, you love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you love Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Usman wa Ali, Shahab al Qadir Jilani. Mauth is the door through which you can meet. So if you know this is the door through which I can meet Allah, I can meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can meet the companion, you will love that door. Or if you say, no, I don't want to, this means there's something wrong. Something wrong that way. Why is it that you... And the more, what is wrong is that our actions, because we know what we're doing night and day, and we don't want to face with these things, these fires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those actions. So, if you will correct your action and purify yourself, death will become endear to you. Meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become endear to you. And if you do not change, if you do not, then obviously you are going to dislike it, but it's going to come. That is the matter. So one lesson of the hijrah of Rasulullah from this is that if he likes to, he chose akhirah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his lovers, his ummah, if they love him, really, if they love him, they should also choose the same way. Don't you see how we act, how we, meaning dress, following those people we love? If I love an actor and I'm dressing, walk, if someone says, you like such and such, I become very happy. Oh, I'm really happy. Very happy. Why? Because the love of that person, the likeness of that person, who I'm trying to copy and follow, and someone when give a remark, oh, you look like such as an end. But people, they look like or not, they try to look like them with their dress, with their walking gait, with their clothing. So similarly, love has this effect naturally. If you love shaitan, you like to be like shaitan. You will like to walk like shaitan. You will like to be like shaitan. This is the natural effect of the love. If you love the Prophet ﷺ, naturally you would like to be. If someone says to you, then you resemble or the way of the Sunnah and the Salihin, that's why you become happy. Alhamdulillah, the people are reminded of Rasulullah ﷺ through me. Alhamdulillah, this is a sign of the wali of Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the sign of the friends of Allah? He said, إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. When you look at them, they remind you of Allah and His Messenger, meaning actually the Akhirah. And when you are friend of Rasulullah ﷺ, sign is when people look at you, they remind you of him. Like now they look at you, they're reminded of an actor, or a football player, or the cricketer, or whatever, or a gangster, or whatever, they're reminded. This is, but you were children of Adam. Shaitan is biggest gangster, leader of all gangsters. You are not his children. You are not his offspring. You are children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. We go sometime in the camp of Shaitan, but you are not from there. You don't belong there. You never belong there. You have the potential. You can come back to your true father, your true nature, and your true place. You were never offered. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He addresses human beings and us with love, He said, Ya Bani Adam. He doesn't say, oh human being. He said, oh the children of my beloved Adam. You are children of my beloved Adam. You are not children of Shaitan. You are not children of devil. Devil is the enemy of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not children of His. You are Ya Bani Adam, La Ta'budu Shaitan, Ya Bani Adam, Khudu Zinatukum, Walaqad Karramna Bani Adam. So Allah SWT again is reminding that you are the offspring, you are the offspring of my loved one, Adam, who I loved very one, and I want to honor you. Walaqad, then He says, Walaqad Karramna Bani Adam. We have honored the children of Adam. Meaning this is also shows that how we should respect other Muslim and human beings. When Allah has honored them, who I am and you are, actually to disgrace them. when Allah says, I have honored the children of Adam. So that is one thing. And the other thing which the Prophet ﷺ did, very briefly, I will not go in detail. He, before departing, he asked forgiveness from all people of Medina Sharif. He went unto the pulpit of Medina to Manawwara in Masjid Nabi. He said, O people, if I've hurt anyone, please, you can take your revenge or actually forgive me. If I owe money to someone, property, anything which I have borrowed not returned, please remind me, I'll give that back. Or if there's money, or if you think you know but you want to forgive, you can forgive. If I have said anything and it has hurt you, or tarnish your honor in any way, or if it, anything has hurt you, I do not intend to hurt anyone. But still, if you think, or you have misunderstood, whatever, here I am Muhammadur Rasulullah, you can say similar thing back to me. Or I ask forgiveness from you, from the depth of the heart, because I want to travel to Allah, and I want to go in such a state when there is no claim against me. There is no human being, no Muslim man or woman is against me. I have not hurt anyone. This is the journey. So, starting the journey. Who he is asking? From? Maybe there were people, Muslims, some even non-Muslims are living in Madinatul Manawwara. Some children, some women, who are people are not related to him. There are some slaves in those gatherings, who are ghulams, who are slaves. He's asking them as well. And today me and you, to hum log jo hain, are arrogant so much that sister, brother is not actually, you may say, speaking. Children and you say parents are not speaking at terms. Why? Because there is takabbar. They don't want to break that takabbar. Wo takabbar nahi todna chahte. تو ان لوگوں کا جس طرح میں نے بتایا ہے کہ ان کی نمازیں بھی خطرے میں ہیں. Your prayer is in danger if the matters of creation. That is right. People do wrong things. مخلوق ظلم کرتی ہے. وہ ظلم کرے آپ نہ کریں. یہ حل ہے اس کا. ظلم تو امام حسین کے ساتھ بھی ہوا لیکن انہوں نے ایک بھی یزیدی کے ساتھ ان کے کسی بچے کے ساتھ یا زبان سے بھی برا کلمہ ان کو نہیں کہا. زبان سے بھی برا نہیں. تو ظلم کا حل یہ نہیں. Our people say, oh, that person did this to me, look what someone is doing, oh, دیکھو اس نے کیا کیا. Right. You're 100% right. وہ کر رہا ہے. اس کا حل یہ ہے آپ نہ کریں. That you don't, why are you doing wrong thing? You just actually don't react. You have the right response, which actually after صالحین. تو لوگ تو کرتے ہیں. شیطان is always there in the world. تو اس لیے جو ہے اپنی وہ عقل, اپنے وہ جو طاقت اور تکبر توڑیں. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے سبق لیں کہ آپ نے جب اللہ کی طرف سے, ہم بھی اللہ کی قرب چاہتے ہیں, چلو مرنا نہیں چاہتے. We don't want to die but we still want closeness of Allah. If you want to start the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we say whoever, anyone who starts the tazkiyah course, we ask him to ask forgiveness, that when he starts the sheet of the tongue, ask forgiveness from the back. Ask forgiveness from the people that he wants to start the journey to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. वो किस लिए कि ये चीजें जो हैं ये तोड़ती हैं बहुत फायदा देती हैं. They will give you immense benefit. You have not imagined. आपने कभी सोचा ही नहीं होगा. आप तो अभी सोच रहे होंगे मैं खुश हूँ, मैं ये हूँ, मैं, मुझे क्या परवाह किसी की. لیکن آپ کا دل سکون میں نہیں, اطمینان میں نہیں. جب آپ معاف کریں گے اپنے آپ کو بھی, دوسروں کو بھی, اور ان کے ساتھ اچھا تعلق قائم کریں گے تو بہت. اسی طرح جو ہے یہی, میں تو یہی لوگوں کو کہتا ہوں, کیونکہ بیکاز یو لیو ود برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز اینڈ وائفس اینڈ ہسبینڈز اینڈ پیپل, سو ہو شل آئی ادر مینشن. اور تو آپ کرتے ہی نہیں ہیں. اے پرسن لیونگ ان آسٹریلیا, وٹ رانگ یو آر ڈوئنگ ٹو ہم. جو امریکہ میں رہ رہا ہے اس کا آپ کیا بگاڑ رہے ہیں, اس کو کون سے تیر مار رہے ہیں, اس کا کیا. آپ تو اسی کو کریں گے جو آپ کے شہر میں رہ رہا ہے, آپ کے ساتھ رہ رہا ہے, آپ کے ساتھ رشتہ داری ہے, انہی لوگوں کے ساتھ جو ہے. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے سبق لیں. آپ کو آٹھ عورتوں نے دودھ پلایا اور آپ آٹھوں کو آپ نے ماں کی عزت دی ہے, سب کو. بہن کو اتنی عزت دی, आपको मैंने पहले भी किस्सा सुनाया था that Rasulullah respected the his sister. Maybe you don't know, he had a sister actually who was the daughter of Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha. And that sister who looked after him maybe 1 year or so when she was young, 10, 12 years old, Rasulullah was 3-4 years old, she would play, she would look after him. But the Prophet ﷺ remembered her all his life. Shima radiallahu anha was her name. Why I'm showing you the rights of sister, the right of brother. Ab yahan aise log hain, bhai bhai ko milne nahi ja raha, bacche maa baap ko milne nahi ja rahe, hafte mein bhi ek martaba nahi jaate, behan ke paas nahi jana, bhai bas apna reh rahe hain, kaam kaaj kar rahe hain, aur jo hai कोई जो बस और कोई चीज जो है अपनी जिंदगी गुजार रहे हैं तो ये खत्म हो जाएगी. चीजें कीमती नहीं होती. द थिंग्स आर नॉट वेरी वेरी प्रेशियस. पैसे हैं, दौलत है, तकब्बर है, नफ्स है. द रियल प्रेशियस थिंग इज सो रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम वाज लिविंग इन मदीनातुल मुनव्वरा एंड जिहाद टू प्लेस इन मक्का. मक्का में के इर्द गिर्द जिहाद हुआ एंड हजरत हलीमा ऑल His her kabila, most of them were disbeliever. They fought against the sahaba. Wo sahaba ke saath unhone jang ladi, unko qaid kar liya gaya. They were imprisoned, and the rule was either they are imprisoned for, or if someone gives money to free them, compensation. The sahaba had a system; they would free those prisoners because they were. They were in the war. So they took all the men to Madinatul Munawwara in prison and said that if anyone wants, they should pay money or booty, whatever, then they can. Now the village or the tribe of Hazrat Halima radiallahu anha, it was, they got together, the leaders, they got together, the tribe leader. He said, we are non-Muslims. He gets rather all the women of the tribe, because the men were taken, only children were remaining there, and women, and few men. Other old men were captivated. A Muslim Sahaba, Rizwanul Alihim Ajmaeen, they actually captivated them. They imprisoned them. So he said that the Muslims, they have a law that we can free our men, or women of the tribe, bring goats which you have, we will sell them for money or give them. Any bangles you have, any jewelry you have, any earrings you have, any gold you have, any money you have. If you want to free your brother, or you have a son which has taken away, or a husband who has been taken away, bring. The women, some gave, some others began, said, we don't have anything so much to free. We don't have anything to give. And they said that, okay, we will try to help you, but you bring whatever you have. So some of the poor women, they were crying and weeping that our husband will never come back, our brother will never come back, we can't pay the ransom. So amongst them, they said that, whilst talking, he said that, look, this is a ruler of Arabia, Muhammad. They didn't believe he was a prophet. He said that his name is Muhammad. And he, it's his soldier who were captured. So Hazrat Shima, who was not a Muslim even at that time, she actually, when she heard this name, it rang bell in her mind. That she said, that as though that I know this person from very childhood, since Rasulullah ﷺ left, she never, because Rasulullah ﷺ went to Medina, to Manabara, she was married, went to other tribe things. But she then asked the tribe leader that who is this person called Muhammad who lived in Makkah? And he said yes. She said then to the other women that don't cry and weep, and to the tribe leader as well, that you will give me permission, I can get, release all prisoners free without any ransom. They said to Shima that it is dangerous matter, that if we delay, then things can get worse. You are a normal a woman, a poor woman. Who is going to listen to you? This is a big matter. No one is going to listen to you. You are putting people's life in danger. Who is going to listen? But she said she thought that she will visit this person who
she lived with her in childhood, and she had this like hope. She said, give me few days, or actually some time, and then if I don't come, then obviously we'll have to get ransom together. So she very quickly, with the help of someone, went to Madinatul Munawwara, and Sahaba Ikram Rizwan Ajmai never knew this old lady who was old. They never saw him, they never heard about her as such. So she went, and she went straight to ask, where is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They said, this is his house. So he was going in her house to see him. There was protection, there were guards. They stopped Hazrat Halima, the Sahaba Ikram, thought that this is an unidentified lady who is entering, who is coming towards actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. So they stopped her. She said, respectable lady, please identify yourself. She said, I am the sister of your Prophet. I am elder sister of your Prophet. Now they were shocked and surprised that they had never heard that actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a sister and elder sister. That's such a close relationship, and they don't know. So they said, you wait here. They went inside and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there's an old woman, that's her name, and she said, your sister. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not expecting. It was like a surprise. Islam was sitting or lying down on his bed, and he had one chadar or a cloth on it. He stood up so passionately, so eagerly, with love of his sister, who actually he was, as I said, sister, who would rank, Rasulullah ﷺ was met by Sayyidah Halima. That Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that even the chadar Mubarak fell, and he went with naked body outside, actually only wearing the azar, and welcomed to Sayyidah Shima radiallahu anha, and brought her in, sat in front of him in tashahud position, in qada position, like we sit in prayer, because of the respect and honor, that how one should honor a sister, elder sister. So he said, kissed her hand and actually sat in front of her, and was very happy to meet him. And then he said, how have you come? And she said that your companions or your people, your soldiers, have captured our men of our kabila, and now they want ransom, and we don't have that such, and I've just come to for that. It was the habit of Rasulullah ﷺ, he would consult the Sahaba, Rizwanul Alim Ajmain, of any important matter, he would consult them. But on this occasion, he didn't even consult the Sahaba Ikram. He immediately issued orders to release all the men and their money and whatever was captured from that entire kabila, in order to honor and respect of actually showing the ummah that how to respect women or respect sisters. Respect the sisters. And then he, on the other day, next day, he said farewell. He said, you can stay. She said, no, I want to go. Take the family, and their people are waiting. I'll come again. So he said farewell to her in a such a way that gave her gifts, many, many flocks of goat and sheep and clothing he gave to Sayyidah Shima, and went quite a long way from Madinatul Munawwara to see farewell to her. And Sahaba Ikram Rizwanul Ali Majmain were listening and looking and meaning. So this is the small element that the Prophet ﷺ showed us, how to behave with people, and especially your close relatives, brothers and sisters and family members and mother and father and all these things. You can imagine, this is the Prophet.